I think I'm on. There we go. Amen. Good morning. Did you notice how beautiful it was outside this morning? God painted a picture. I hope each one of us takes time to enjoy the God's creation. Look around if you haven't taken the time. Each one of us is one of His creation. Today's sermon, three words. Three words have a way of affecting our lives. I'll pick one of my favorites. Internal Revenue Service. Sorry, that's my world. How about no U-turn? Or worse yet, license and registration. There are personal ones. The most favorite is I love you. I am pregnant. It's a boy or it's a girl. There are some that are hard to say. I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. And still, even deeper ones. Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Save me, Jesus. But there are three words that will do more than just affect your life. These three words, if you truly understand what they mean, will change your life forever. Before we go too much further, let's take a moment and pray. Dear Lord, Father, thank you. Thank you for your love, for your grace, your mercy. Let the Holy Spirit come, Lord. Let it fill this room and fill each one of us. And let it speak through me. Let them see you instead of me, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Luke 19, verses 21 and 22. It's part of a story about a rich young ruler. We're just going to look at a couple of verses of it. And it reads, and he said, all these I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. This morning, I'd like to take a look at those three words. Come, follow me. Today's scripture reading was Luke 9:23, and I'll read it. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I'm going to go through that verse today. We'll start with the beginning. If anyone. Who does that include? I once had a discussion with some of the guys. And a question came up as to who we would welcome into our church. One guy even jokingly said, or asked, that if he came dressed in a scuba outfit with a surfboard, would we allow him into our church? I answered saying, well, I'd probably ask him to blow the water out of his snorkel first, and we'd set his board off to the side and maybe ask him to lift up the mask. And I don't know if he had to check his flippers at the door or not, but we'd still let him come in. Jesus is answering that question by saying, anyone. The problem is, we don't understand who is included in anyone. Jesus doesn't say that anyone who meets certain qualifications or requirements. He doesn't quantify his answer. He isn't saying anyone who dresses a certain way, walks a certain way, talks a certain way. Too many feel that they don't qualify simply because of their past or their present. They say, yes, Jesus loves us, but I'm not sure he does enough to let me in. I've done too much. I have addictions. I have anger issues. I have a lustful heart. I have lied, cheated, stolen from others, and had way too many idols in my life. No one could ever love me or accept me the way that I am. But Jesus quietly answers yes, when everyone else says no. He says anyone means anyone. Plain and simple. He knows about your mistakes, your problems, your sins. And he still says anyone. And anyone is you and is me. Please also note that the word before anyone is if. It is not a command. As he leaves the choice to you. The next part in that verse is come after. What does come after mean? It means to pursue, not just to run after until you catch up, but to pursue or desire so much that you are willing to do anything, go anywhere, face any challenge to reach your goal. To come after Jesus, a simple man who had no visible means of support, no fine clothing, no fancy car or fancy house, no visible wealth or luxuries. It meant to leave all that you had and to pursue a life dedicated to service. It meant to be willing to leave your job, like Peter and the other fishermen did, and Matthew. Your family, as all the disciples did. Your friends, even. And possibly, even being willing to sacrifice your life. Jesus wants a relationship that far exceeds any and all that you have ever experienced. He wants to be first in your life, second to none. Being a disciple of Christ requires sacrifice, being ready to go anywhere and to do what God has told you to do. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew 14. verses 22 through 33. Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Would be good if I turned to the right chapter, wouldn't it? Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray, and when the evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. In verse 28, Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus answered him with one word, "Come." Peter was willing to leave the safety and comfort of the boat, to leave his friends, to step out over the side and onto the sea with waves and a contrary wind. He was willing to venture out to pursue or come after Jesus, even at the risk of his own life. One point I noticed in reading this story, and I'm sure you'll notice it too, was how none of the others attempted to come out of the boat, did they? They liked being where it was safe and secure. They stayed where they were. They were happy to stay there, safe and sound, or at least they thought that was safe and sound. Another point I noticed was that just coming after Jesus, did you notice that the sea and the wind did not change? As it states, the wind was still boisterous. We read what happened to Peter when his eyes turned from the Master. His faith faltered as he looked around him. How many of us, when encouraged to a life following Jesus, have later begun to sink as we look at the cost? Jesus asked Peter, "Why did you doubt?" How many of us have faced challenges, and instead of holding fast to our faith in God, we too begin to doubt and sink beneath the waves. Back in Luke 9:23, Jesus continued in his teaching about being a true disciple or follower of Christ, with the phrase, "Let him deny himself." What do we mean when we say deny self? The other morning, I was spending some time speaking with God, and this very statement was what we were discussing. I thought about it for a while and then asked God, if I truly totally deny myself, removing all my selfish ways, my self-centered thoughts, my self-esteem, my self-serving deeds and words, completely wiping away everything that promotes or focuses on me, then what is left? If I'm completely out, what's left? If everything in me is gone, what remains? God's quiet voice answered me. Absolute, perfect love. And that is Jesus. That is also the Trinity. To deny all of me, I must be willing to accept all of Him. My hopes, my dreams, my ambitions, my possessions, my way of life must be put aside so that all that remains is Christ. In Isaiah 30:21, God says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk ye in it.'" Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. By denying self, we live the life that Jesus lived as He sacrificed all of Himself for you and me. Jesus is the perfect example. He is the model for our life. He humbled Himself, leaving His throne and setting aside His crown, removing His royal robe, and entering this world not with the fanfare and pomp of the King of Kings, but as a simple, lowly, human baby child to be wrapped in simple swaddling clothes and held in the arms of a young girl. Jesus denied Himself so that you and I might see the life we are to live, one of humility and self-denial. In Luke 14:33, Jesus says, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Jesus doesn't ask for most of you. He asks for all of you. That's the relationship He wants with you. The next section in that verse says, "And take up His cross daily." In the time of Jesus, the cross was not an ornament worn around the neck or hung on the rearview mirror. It did not adorn the walls of homes or fit on bumper stickers or t-shirts. The cross represented the worst possible form of death that was given to only the worst criminals. And these criminals were required to not only carry this device of their execution, they had to do it through the streets of the city, in this case, Jerusalem, through the crowds who would jeer, taunt, and insult them with verbal and physical abuse. Even being a family member of one condemned to die on the cross was a great shame and subject to ridicule. The cross represented pain, humiliation, and suffering. It was the worst way to die, as your death would only come after suffering the shame and then the long, slow suffering of hanging on this instrument of your torture. In Luke 9:24, Jesus says, "For whoever desires to take his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." In taking up the cross, we are telling the world that we are willing to go to the cross for our Lord. We are willing to lose all, including our own lives, for him, because Jesus did it for us. He took up his cross and carried it all the way to Calvary. In Luke 14:27, Jesus says, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Jesus makes it pretty clear that we are to take up the cross. But please also note that it's not his cross that he says to carry. It is our own cross we are to shoulder. Now, some people say things like, "Well, this particular thing is the cross that I bear in my life." That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about making a choice of your life. We are to be willing, humbly willing, to be abused by those who falsely cry out against us. Forced to carry this symbol of his sacrifice for our sakes, not on the outside as an adornment, but on the inside as a sign of commitment to the walk as Jesus did. And we are to do this daily, meaning every day of our lives. The final part of this verse ends with, "And follow me." Why did Jesus say to follow him? Why not come and join me, or come alongside, or just walk with me? In order to follow someone, we must walk the path that they walked, correct? We have to go the same path they went. Jesus wants us to follow him in all ways, in our words, in our deeds, our thoughts, and our actions. Jesus has gone before us to prepare the way. He is asking us to follow his example in our lives, to step where he has prepared a path for each one of us. I believe he says this for two reasons. One is obedience. He's testing our faith. Two, so that he can clear the way before us, removing the snares and traps that Satan would place in our path. Jesus goes before us and removes these matters, shielding us from the darts from the evil one. In following Jesus, we are to make ourselves like him in every possible way, to offer mercy when the world says no, to forgive those who have harmed us, to provide to the least of these when others turn away, to love those who know not what it means to be loved. All of these are to be our way of living, the rule, not the exception. We are to walk as he walked, humble and in service to our Heavenly Father. Jesus asks each of us if we are willing to answer those three words, "Come, follow me." I personally have made my decision about his request in my life. If Debbie could come up and join me. Three years ago, I was baptized in this church. The past 3 years have definitely been challenging and a change in my life. I now know just about everyone that's sitting here. Before, I knew none of you. My wife and I have been praying about what God has been asking of me and of us for the past several years since that baptism. Last year, God revealed His desire for our lives, and He has given me signs to show this is His direction and His will in my life. And so I humbly ask for your blessings, your prayers, and your support as I have decided that come this August, I'm going to suspend my CPA practice and I'm going to attend the Amazing Facts Center of Evangelism. It's going to be held just outside of Sacramento in its home location in Rockland. And I'm going to go there with the intent of it being the first step towards my becoming a lay pastor and eventually a full-time pastor.
Amen. Amen.
If you want, go ahead.
This has been a prayed decision between both of us for a couple years now, and God has opened up many, many doors, and this is the time.
I wanted Debbie to come up and join me so that you didn't think this was just me making this decision. For the ladies' benefit, I will let you know that Debbie will still be living here in Bakersfield and still attending church during this time period. I've got 5 months to get ready. I have my youngest daughter's wedding first in early August, which she's here to join us. My decision, God's decision in my life, I should say, is not something that comes easy. To walk away from your means of income and your support and everything is a challenge, to say the least. For those of you that are clients, I said I'm suspending the practice. I didn't say I was closing it, so don't panic too much, but it's still going to be in God's hands. We are both willing and have agreed that we will go wherever God sends us and wherever He tells us, including right back here to Bakersfield Central. If that is His will, so be it. We will be back here. But this is the first step. This is not the step for everyone. Don't misread what I'm saying, that everyone who just got baptized, you should expect that you're going to be called to something like this. I think the greatest calling of all is for men and women as fathers and mothers in raising your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren to follow Him. That is so much more. Don't ever look away from that. And that is truly a calling and a blessing. Each one of us hears God's voice. The message that is shared is the harvest is great, but the workers are few. We hear His voice. The question is, will you answer the way He is calling you? And sometimes the way He's calling you is, stay right where you are. Be part of the church. Be there to help and encourage your brothers and sisters. Be strong for each one of them in their times of weakness, for they will be strong in your time of weakness. My brothers have come to me We've gone through a lot in 3 years. I went through the death of my brother, my oldest brother. I went through personal challenges. I misspoke. I hurt some feelings. I've asked forgiveness. God has brought into my life a new heart. For when I went through my baptism, I began a new life. The old Rob died that day. The new Rob had to go through some things because of what the old Rob had done. I had to look at myself in the mirror. I had to do like Peter and say, Lord, command that I come to you. And he said, come. I'm willing to get out of the boat. I'm willing to step out on the water now. I'm willing to lay my life down for him and for each one of you. I'm going to ask you to think about this. I've made this decision to follow Jesus in my life. The question is, what is your answer when he says, come, follow me? How will you answer? I'm going to leave you with that thought today. And I'd like to close with a simple prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your teaching, for your leading, for your calling upon each one of our hearts. Let us now, each one, take a moment of quiet and listen to your voice. Let us choose to come and follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.